Hello, this is Bernd Strom, the Strommer from SoccerSpecific.com. We'd like to welcome today Ed Bradley, head coach of the University of Rhode Island. Welcome to the Boot Room today.
Well, thank you very much. It's good to be here.
Great. Hey, Ed, love to begin, and I usually do this with most interviews, and that is just simply to ask, hey, how did you get involved in soccer and kind of the journey to this point that led you to the University of Rhode Island?
Well, I actually went to URI on a baseball scholarship, and I got down there, and the baseball coach was a soccer coach, and fell in love with it then. Played a little before, but not much, and like back then, you couldn't play varsity, you had to play freshman ball, and then so it was like a learning experience that first year, and we had there wasn't many scholarships at all. I was on a baseball scholarship, but I fell in love with soccer. We had a lot of international kids, not on scholarship, but just we had that type of university, a lot of kids in engineering from Nigeria. And we had a couple of good kids from New Jersey who were pretty good players. And then it was more of an ethnic group. And we were the midfield. Well, I ended up playing midfield, so I did all the running, and that was easy. And when I got out of school, I had a teaching degree, and I had to go into service, and then I came out and ended up coaching. My first coaching job was at Barrington High School, and ended up coaching Dana Taylor, who was head coach at Oregon State now. And I really went through the national coaching schools back in 75, 76, 77. They just started in 70, 71 with Dietmar Kramer and Walter Chisowitz and, you know, all those people. And I really fell in love with coaching it. And at the time when at Barrington, I had to go get my master's in counseling. So I ended up coaching three sports, basketball, baseball, and soccer. But soccer became the one I really enjoyed coaching. We started a youth program in town, and I started coaching there. And back in 1980, ended up going to Rhode Island College. Never left the school, but of course, a Division III school. They actually Dana played against us at Barrington College. And then we went back to Barrington and brought Dana back with me, with my assistant coach now, Jay Primiano. And had a very successful run there, but then I went back to Barrington again because it wasn't going to lead to a full-time job. In 89, got the job at the University of Rhode Island, and I've been there ever since. So that takes us full circle, so to speak. Been in between, coached a lot of club teams, ODP, and going for refresher courses and all that stuff. So that's how I got into soccer and how I presently at University of Rhode Island.
So tell me, there's some curiosity that builds for me, at least, when you mentioned that you coached baseball, basketball, and soccer. Is that correct?
Yes.
So you had all those three. Can you kind of describe some similarities that you see in coaching across the board, and then maybe a distinctive that comes out in coaching soccer?
I think you can relate it more to basketball in the sense that, you know, first defender, second defender, third defender, and all that as far as the tactics are concerned. But what I try to do is put people in their roles, and no matter if it's a role of baseball, a role of basketball, or soccer. I think I'm getting fairly good at that now as far as putting them in the right role, which I feel that is most success for the team. As far as coaching, I think it was. I think coaching is coaching, no matter what you coach. I think you try to minimize the weaknesses and maximize the strengths, and then you go from there. So I think it's the same. I think if you can coach one sport, I think you can coach the like another sport once you get the tactics down. So I think it's all based on skill and fundamentals, and the more skills and fundamentals you have in each sport, you'll be able to do a little better. And so but I think you can teach it like more like basketball than baseball. But baseball is game, it's more of a coaching game during the game, where basketball and soccer is more of a player's game.
So as you have been involved in coaching now for quite a time, what has been kind of the underpinnings or the foundation of your philosophy of coaching? What kind of drives you in coaching?
I always like to take a team and see how far we can go with it, and how, you know, like I can remember back in high school where we coached, where we would get beat early in the year, but then we would turn that game around and beat somebody at the end of the year, you know, because maybe the first time we weren't prepared well enough or whatever. But I think the main thing is it's like teaching, you know. I mean, you go from one step to the other, and coaching is teaching, and we're just using a different classroom, and you know, the discipline part of it, and also the idea of fine tuning it. You know, when you first start out, everybody's excited and so on, but you know, you can see the improvement, you know, especially in high school throughout the year. In college, you can see the improvement because maybe it's more of like a distinct style of play and what have you, and then be able to play like chess, see if you can, you know, certain teams might be able to make adjustments and so on. Usually when you don't have the talent, you're going to make all the adjustments. But if you have the talent, maybe the other team is going to make an adjustment. So I think that's the fun part of it. And the fun part of it is because you're starting new every year. It's not the same team. No matter if you only lose three players or four players or seven players, the chemistry of the team and all that, you know, like, that's what I like about it.
Sure. Hey, speaking of that kind of coaching, you've had, you know, probably it's hard to even imagine how many teams you've coached over the years. But in that mix, when you look for players to be a part of your program, your teams, what are some of the things in particular that you look for as you recruit and as you form a team? What kind of player are you trying to grab hold of?
It's funny, when we coached at Rhode Island College, it was more of a state New England wise. You know, I mean, it wasn't many kids from very far off. They were all mostly Rhode Island kids or Massachusetts or maybe Connecticut kids. And, you know, then you had to be pretty good at putting them in the right spot. It seems like what's good about soccer, you can always take somebody and try to find. What I try to do back then is try to find out what they did well and what they didn't do well, and try not to let them do what they didn't do well. And it's just that when you get to the Division I level, the game is faster. The first touch is so important, you know. So speed, you know, trying to find out what they can do to make, you know, to make them better at the position they're going to play. And I think you don't need all small, quick kids, but it's nice to be quick.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's nice to be able to put the team together. And what we try to do is try to get them to learn how to play on different thirds of the field, and knowing that if you're in this third, you don't do all the things you're supposed to, you know, that you were taught at the front third, you know. And so what we like to do is look at the first touch and their speed, and then see how they fit into the team too, you know, see if they don't get yellow cards and you know, like mostly all of them are the best players on the teams and probably captains and all that. But, you know, a lot of times we meet them and then we can find out more about them, how they fit in. But, you know, every year you don't have to have the same cookie cutter type player. You know what I mean? What you got to try to do is, you know, we really try to look and see what they do a little different than somebody else. And first touch and speed and quickness is very important.
Okay. And I completely agree. It's nice to have players who have a great first touch. And you just can't teach speed, so that I completely concur. Hey, on that end of kind of putting together a team, once you have those players in place, they come and they participate in the program, what's kind of the key to them becoming a team? What are some things that you, Ed, do to create and foster a good community within your team?
Okay, first of all, once we decide where they're going to play and, you know, who's going to play, then we got to convince them to accept that role. For example, a kid 2 years ago, we were shorted at right back, and I came up to a play, it was predominantly midfield, and I said, listen, you've got to play in the back for us. Coach, I don't care where, as long as I'm on the field. So we got to convince them that they're going to make a positive you know, contribution to the team, and I think that they gotta believe that, you know, and where maybe before we didn't have all the numbers, and what happened was we usually have to put a kid all over the place, you know, but now I try to put a kid in a position the way they're going to do the most, and then maybe put somebody else right behind them, so if someone gets hurt, he'd be all set to go.
Huh.
Hold on for a minute. I'm busy.
Yeah. Small break as Ed confers with some staff behind him. We'll get back to him in a second. Ed Bradley is from University of Rhode Island and is a head soccer coach there. And we're in the midst of an interview with him. He's been talking about players and how he develops them and so forth. Ed, you back with us?
Yeah, I'm back.
Great. Hey, as we keep going through this, I'm curious, what advice would you have for a young player and also coaches of young players to help them to develop to the point where they could play at the college level and in particular at a Division I level? What could players and coaches do to prepare themselves for that possibility?
First of all, I would tell them that they probably got to play up, you know, play good competition, try to get into a good club system where they get exposed to different players, different club teams. There's two different philosophies here. You know, some people think that, you know, if you, you know, the Dutch think if you put them right in position all the time and they're in, they're right back, they're going to be a right back. I'm not sure if that's the answer, but I think you got to expose them to different styles of play. I think you got to play them against different styles of play, you know, different conditions, you know, because of all the games, it's not always standardized field sometimes. So. Mm. You know, so sometimes you got to learn how to play on a small field, a wet field, you know, so on. So I think the more you expose the kids to that, the better off. I like to see the kids just play until they get to be about 12, and then let's put them into a club type of competitive, you know, type of situation. Because I think too many kids are turned off by this high pressure to win all the time and all that. But I think it comes to a point where they get to be 12, 13, then they got to be exposed to, you know, some good coaching, some good competition, some good fields, some good tournaments, and being able to get to the next level, you can almost judge, you know, after a while, you know, the cream will rise to the top, so to speak. You know?
Sure, absolutely.
But we're saying that kids develop differently, too. Some kids don't mature until a little later. So, you know, some kid at 12 might not be the same player at 16.
Yeah.
And vice versa.
Yeah. Right. Well, as you know, with that in mind, that idea of continually getting better to allow kids to develop into the player that they might be, giving some space to develop and so forth. How about you, Ed? Are there things that you're doing as a coach to continue to develop your own kind of philosophy as well as skills as a coach?
Well, we try to do as much one or two touch in all our exercises because, you know, and I know, there are some games where if somebody gives you plenty of time and space and you think you arrived, and then the next day some team doesn't give you the time and space, and sure enough, you always, even two touch might be too much, you know. So we always try to mix that up a little. So, and then we try to get situations where we're numbers down, numbers up, late in the game, down a goal, up a goal, and, you know, just to get a, you know, because soccer, of all the games, one goal can change the complexion of how you play. So we try to get them used to that. Sometimes it's only training, but we, you know, and it's really not the same until you get to a game type of thing, but we almost try to time things where you have 20 minutes, you're down a goal, let's see what how you would react and, you know, and so on. And we always try to make practice a little tougher than the game because, you know, when it comes to the game, you know, hopefully you'll be able to react to situations of a bad call, a physical team, a bad mistake by your team, see if you can overcome it.
Sure.
So I think it's I don't think it's that hard to coach, but a lot of times what are you going to get out of this session? You know, like, what's the purpose of the training session, you know? So I think there's always going to be a purpose of it, you know, and no matter what it is. And it might be the same exercise, but maybe a different purpose, you know, the second day, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, purposeful playing and coaching and living, obviously, are good things to build in. Speaking of being purposeful, as you continue in coaching, where do you see yourself in the next 10 years as you kind of make your way?
Hopefully down Florida playing golf, but I don't know. I don't know if college coaching is the almighty answer. I can see myself eventually coaching a 15 or 17 year old team and doing the things I just said, bringing them to tournaments and you know, maybe writing letters for them to go to college and truly have a club type of situation where you have a nice club, you got a nice field, you play good competition, you got other coaches in there, the same philosophy. And college coaching, I don't know, is the almighty answer all the time, but it happens to be the business we're in. So, I think with the restraints you have with the time of you know, the season itself, the rules, the NCAA rules, the high school rules, the club rules, is, you know, wonder why we haven't got to the next level yet, because kids have to play under different rules all the time. So I'm not sure if don't get me wrong, I love it, but I don't know if it's the purest sense of soccer sometimes, you know?
Yeah, it's interesting. If we had a whole bunch more time, we could dabble on that whole NCAA question.
Yeah.
But hey, we'll do that in our second interview, maybe down the line.
Okay.
Hey, kind of wrapping this up. What would players say about Ed Bradley? What would your players say is kind of the thing that that defines you?
Okay, I hope they would say that was fair and a player's coach, hopefully, and. I think I try to get them with humor instead of screaming, you know, instead of salt. Maybe a desire to play, you know. I mean, hopefully I instill that. Trying to reach the next level, you know, trying to make yourself better. A lot of times you're not going to please everybody, you know, and a lot of times I think sometimes the break-off point is when maybe you have a certain role for them to play and they don't accept it, and you know, and so on. I think that, you know, a lot of times over the years it hasn't, you know, it's not smooth from August to December. There's always going to be problems on and off the field. Hopefully there's not too many, but I think you might want to ask that question to Dana. Dana plays for me and coach with me. So I mean, I think he has a gift of coaching because of the fact that I think he wants the kid to get better and the right way, not the wrong way. And so I think hopefully when it's all said and done, people will say that I was fair. You know, I treated them the way I
want to
be treated.
Yeah. Well, hey, my last question. I always like to throw in a little curveball. You're married. You got some kids. What would your kids say about you?
Well, my two sons play for me.
Okay.
Yeah, my two sons are very good players. They both made all New England and all Atlantic 10. My two boys. I think they would say I was just what I said. I treated them the way I want to be treated, and my daughter probably said I didn't spend enough time with her. she was a good player too. And I think they would say that. It's fun being with them. And I think it's fun being with me. So I think, it's much closer than my parents. You know, I mean, even though my parents are close, I think our kids socially go out more with us than socially went out with our parents.
Well, good. Thank you, Ed. It's been a privilege. I am Bernd Strom, the Strommer from SoccerSpecific.com, coming to you from the boot room, saying it's been a privilege to talk with Ed Bradley, head coach of the University of Rhode Island. Thanks again, Bradley, for being with us. Talk to you soon.
Thank you very much.